Welcome to the Crime Scene Time Machine. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the official introduction to the episodes. We have now started a Patreon account, patreon.com/crimescenetimemachine. And if you enjoy our episodes, we would ask you to make a contribution. A cup of coffee costs $8. And I don't know how many times you stop off at Starbucks and get a large cappuccino or something like that. If you think our episode is worth $8 or $5, we would ask that you make a contribution. We are a nonprofit organization, and your donations will be used to create further educational episodes. So if you're interested and you want to help us out in improving how we deliver our episode to you, I would ask you to go to patreon.com/crimescenetimemachine and make a donation of $8. We appreciate any consideration. Thank you very much. And now let's start the show. Welcome to the Crime Scene Time Machine. As always, I'm your host, Scott Roeder. And joining me on this special edition, episode number 52, is the one and only Mr. Jim Quirk from ET Reality. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, Scott? Nice to see you after a big week that you had, a big Friday night.
Yeah, nice to see you too. I thought it was very appropriate that I have you on as a guest of my show. Since really you have been critical to really this whole thing starting, it was me being interested in your show and being a huge fan of your show that led me to find out about the Vegas alien case. And then all these things happen where you and I do something about it, almost a year ago. And then your subscriber brings to our attention this new kind of revelation about the evidence. We do an examination, and then, before you know it, I'm on News Nation representing us in the effort that we put together. And I've had nothing but positive feedback from people, and I want to take an opportunity today to share some of that feedback with you, get your opinion, get your take on the show. Now, remember, you were on News Nation the night before me.
Yeah, it was really weird, I guess, because, you brought my name up to them and they had me come on to talk about the LaGuardia Airport UFO that somebody recently filmed from from their seat in a commercial flight that they were on.
Yeah, I saw that video. Fascinating. I didn't get to see your episode. What was your take on that video?
Well, I mean, it's real. I mean, that's one thing for sure. I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, I have some debunkers out there calling it a balloon right out of the gate. I don't know. I don't know how you could call it a balloon. I don't know. It could be something from outer space. It could be an alien craft of some kind. I mean, people have been seeing these things for decades now. For what? For as long as at least since 1947, right? I mean, we've been seeing flying saucers. I think that's what it could have been. I mean, it was flying, zipping by through the screen. I think it could be. I mean, it's not out. See, the problem is like people talk about when these things happen, people will say, well, it's, it could be a balloon. It could be a bird. It could be this. It could be a bug. It could be this. It could be that. But they don't they never say, well, it could be something extraterrestrial or non-human intelligence. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying that that's what it could be, because guess what? There really is something here. So it could be that. It's not outside. It's nothing silly to suggest at all. So that's my opinion.
Well, to me, it's almost like, what's the rule? The principle that the easiest answer is usually the right answer. And, when the debunkers, and I don't want to, crap on all of the debunkers, because I think some of them are very needed to keep everybody going bananas over things that aren't credible. So that's fine. So, like, for example, the guy that was on News Nation that kind of came on as a panel with me, a gentleman by the name of Ben Hansen, former Department of Defense of government official, now owns is the host of a show about UFOs. And he came on as an expert in UFOs and kind of critiqued what I did. His feedback was pretty good. He agreed with me, concurred with me that the video was authentic. He appreciated the time spent on the analysis. But ultimately, he stopped short of really accepting the reality that is the evidence shows is in that video to me, which is clear that there is an entity there. And the only really criticism he had is he said it was some mental gymnastics. He said it was forensic gymnastics to take the leap that it was cloaking technology and so on and so forth. And it was most likely just a shadow. But there's problems with that shadow theory. And when I went on the show and I had an opportunity to respond to his claim, and some guy, Finn, on Twitter, who were claiming they could prove it was a shadow, my response to them is simple. And you tell me if you think this passes mustard. I put it on the show. They really didn't respond to it. So I said, you know, the shadow that we see here in the backyard of the Vegas alien case is floating above the fence. It's not floating. It's attached to the body, which is also behind the fence. And they're saying that the flashlight by the younger brother, way it moves, reflects the shadow. But, you know, as I said on the show Friday, and as this one YouTuber, who I'm going to bring out of his name because I just stumbled upon his channel, and he's fantastic. I absolutely love this guy already. Let's see, where is he at? I don't want to take too much time, but here he is here. Casperite. This guy, Casperite, his whole channel, it's a great channel. It's all about UFOs. He does a fantastic job. And Jim, if you, I know you're doing the tech on this one. So if you just type into YouTube, Casperite, he has a video called Mind Blowing Analysis. And let's play this because it's fantastic. So go ahead, play from, it's a long clip. Play from the beginning, and then we're going to skip a little bit because he gets into the Miami alien stuff. And then we're going to get to about 10 minutes in. So go ahead.
Okay.
This potentially is such big news. It puts so much more credibility on the family in Vegas that claimed to have seen these 9-10 foot alien beings in their backyard. And not only that, it also puts more credibility on the Miami Mall Bayside alien event, right? Now, I'm going to approach this like you don't know anything about it. And hopefully you'll see some footage in here that you haven't seen before. But right at the very end of this video, mate, you're going to see something that I've seen the very beginning, and it's so interesting, it's unbelievable, and I just have to talk about it. Right. So in September...
Okay, so go ahead and skip ahead to about halfway through the video. Right there. So skip back a little bit, right? Skip back a little bit more. A little bit more. Right until you see his face again. Right there. Yeah.
Right here?
Yeah.
Thing entirely to subject those sightings to the same kind of scientific rigor that puts, say, killers in prison. Scott Roeder is that kind of skeptic. He is an evidence expert and crime scene reconstructionist with 33 years of experience and 1,500 cases to his credit. He is the founder of the Evidence Room, a group that assembles specialists in forensic animation, 3D modeling, and motion graphics.
Yeah.
He took a close look at the video that was recorded by that family in Las Vegas, and he applied his technology to try to debunk it.
Here we go, mate. This is going to be banging.
Here he is on his YouTube channel, Crime Scene, discussing what he calls
you pause it there.
In the family.
You pause there. And so go to, skip ahead, maybe toward a little bit toward the end. I want to get back to his commentary. Oh, go right back to where this guy, a little bit further back, right here. Yeah.
Okay.
There is a lot going on in the video. If you look, there's two or three different light sources.
This is Ben Hansen.
Anytime you have that happening, you can have a lot of shadows from different angles. So unfortunately, we'll never have the same exact circumstance where we can go back and test it to see what was causing a shadow effect.
We absolutely can go back and test it to prove the shadow. Because, and this is where I'm going to flex a little bit on my crime scene reconstruction abilities, because the key is substantially similar circumstances. So if we have access to the property Angel, please give me a call. We'd like to do a reconstruction in your backyard with those flashlights to eliminate this debunker theory. Because if we go back, similar time, we've got obviously flashlights. We know where it happened. I'm sure the heavy equipment is probably in similar positions. The lighting in his yard is not going to change. We can do it at the same time of night. We can replicate it almost identical if we get a chance to go ahead and do it. So go ahead and play it again.
See, okay, I get that, right? But shadows touch things. Yeah. Shadows are against things.
This guy's smart. I like him.
Put my hand up here. There's a shadow against my face, right? You don't have a ball of shadow in the middle of nothing, right? A shadow hits the wall. It hits here. It folds. You know what a shadow is. I don't have to tell you what a shadow is, okay? You don't have this is just a ball of shadow in nothingness.
There is this one aspect of it, and I'm not sure if our producers can just let the video go, but when they walk in past the gate, something startles them,
yes,
and they freak out. I mean,
I'm glad she said that, because that was the other thing that people aren't talking about. They actually go, whoa, 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 when they walk backwards.
For lack of a better description. No way this is acting. Actors don't do it this well.
Yeah.
Something startles them to the right, and they spin around, and they kind of run out, and the video kind of goes, you know, as it would if you were terrified.
It does, and I think that is genuine. If you look at...
You see the face right there. It's
all at the same time.
I like to make a comment right there. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. I just want to say something. Okay. Now they're reacting to something else. There's actually people we're forgetting here. There's two beings. Like you identified that other one last summer. We just never noticed the one above the fence. There's another being. That's what they're, I don't think. I mean, I've come to the conclusion, Scott. I do not believe that they ever saw that thing behind the fence, because I think it was invisible to them. I don't think the mother saw it either. I think that she was just reacting to them reacting. At first, we had a different idea about that, but I think I've changed my mind. They were reacting to the being that you also pointed out, that there's no haze around it. You can see it for a few frames coming toward them. Nobody's talking about that now for fun. Yeah. That's funny. We need to talk about that too.
That's the important thing. You make a great point. And I brought that up on my News Nation interview when I was talking with Mr. Hansen, because, you know, and he's going to say something here. And like I said, I have no bones to pick with this guy, Ben. He seems like a nice guy. As far as guys that do his kind of work, this guy's very professional. He's clearly a very smart guy. I like him. I like him. Ben, I like you. Okay. And matter of fact, I want to invite Ben to be a peer review guy for some of the work that we do, because I think Ben can be convinced with convincing evidence. And now what Ben says here, though, it bothers me a little bit. Go ahead and play it.
They see something, maybe the one at the right very back is like looking at the other two and going, oh, what are you worried about? You know, I'm gonna come back.
Looking at something towards the back of the yard, and something spooks them, where I feel that it might be a little bit of, I don't know, call it forensic gymnastics, is to say that it was caused by this thing off to the right. Because as you can see right there, that shadow appears on top of the fence, but he's not looking to the right. If this was some sort of entity that was like 3 feet away from him, I think that's what would really scare anybody. So that
but there was a couple of them, right? So maybe one's here and one's around the corner here.
This guy
people are saying,
he's
taking
the words right out of my mouth.
Well, let me just pause there again. In fact, I'm glad that this guy has a big following. That was one thing I was pointing out on my channel and your channel. We don't have a lot of followers, right?
So
I mean, I've only been doing it for 3 years. This guy that we're talking about here, he has 300 or 200,000 followers or something like that.
Cool.
So,
but
he didn't notice. Yeah, and he needs to be shown this other evidence. I don't think he's reviewed all the stuff yet that we've been talking about. Okay, good. I'm glad that
I reached out to him and I said I'd like to invite him on my show. I'd be a guest on his show. I gave him your name because I think this is the kind of guy who's he's open-minded. He is smart. This guy's smart. And Ben Ant's a nice guy too. But listen to what Ben says here. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, I'll play it.
It's fully cloaked. Didn't want to be seen, but only the video picked it up. So I don't know about that. I think just based on the video, though, it's great that we have verification that it's not been edited.
I know you talk about confirmation bias as well. Explain to the audience if you know how you think that might be working its way into this as an alternative theory.
Well, if you think about it and go back to the original, the whole background of what just preceded this is you had this really bright object that streaked across the sky, right? And I do believe that that now is a meteoroid, and it may have nothing to do with the family's actual sighting.
Yeah, to be fair, that could have been coincidence.
They believe they saw a light come down to their backyard. And there was a lot of light and commotion, noise. And so when they went out to the backyard, they're already adrenaline's pumping. They're hypersensitive to sights and sounds. I'm in no way suggesting that they made anything up, but perception can be skewed now that this is something out of this world we're out to see in our backyard. And then anything that might have a combination of shadows or sights they're not used to, it can be amplified in your visual perception. And this is just a suggestion, but I do feel the witnesses are being credible as far as describing what they saw. Especially look at that reaction when they see whatever it is back there and they come running out of there, and it's affected at least Angel to this day. He still has trouble with what he saw.
Thank you for watching.
Okay. That's interesting.
So let me say a couple of things and I'll hand it over to you. Okay. So it's what it is. It's gymnastics to say that these four capable armed going in four deep stack are scared by a shadow and some, that's more gymnastics than let's just believe they actually saw what they said they saw. Because, you know, when you're doing crime scene investigation or homicide investigation for, and you go to a witness and this witness says, there was a guy here. He was driving a red car. He had his arm out the window. He was white and he had long blonde hair and he shot the other guy. Are you going to put out an APB of a guy in a red car with blonde hair shooting a gun? Or are you going to put out something on the radio, possible UFO or possible phenomenon of light and marijuana has caused a hallucination in the witness to think that some invisible guy, but we do have a dead guy, but we're not going to put out an APB of the red car and the guy with the blonde hair. I mean, it's more, it's just, how about just listen to the witness and try to verify or debunk what the witness says. In this case, we happen to have video that perfectly corroborates the witness testimony. So it's not gymnastics to believe the witness when there's evidence to back up that witness statement.
That's exactly right. I mean, okay, what he's failing to understand here is that there is something, I mean, you identified it. There was something moving, something humanoid is there momentarily, but it's moving toward them in the background. We're not even talking about the thing that shows up at the fence. There's something that scares them out of the yard, and you actually saw that. You identified it in your analysis from last summer. And now
you could go back to the episode from last summer and air that clip if you want, if you had to throw it up. But that was the clip where basically we focused the whole show on the alien in the background. And when their heads separate, we can see the two bright eyes go from here to here. And right at that same moment, they all turn and run. And it was because I was zoomed in so close, I forgot to look at that fence area. And it was fascinating. So I think you're right. That's what the debunkers and the TV people, next time we get a chance to talk to these people, we need to say there are two aliens in the picture or two entities in the video. They're reacting to the first entity. They may not see the second entity. And Jim, I've got a shout out to all these subscribers. While you're finding that first video,
we've isolated.
You got it. Okay, that's the new one. Actually, we'll get that. Everybody knows about that. So here, I'm going to read some comments on my YouTube channel, Crime Scene.
Here we go, Harris Scott.
Oh, you got it? Okay, here we go.
This is what we're talking about. Yeah, this is the video that you identified from last year.
Yeah, where
you
right can see, there, right there. Oh, there it is.
Look at it. We could go.
That gets me.
There
that
it is, right here. I mean, there's a being. There's a being's head right there between their heads. I can see
and
it.
If you can go frame, you got it in a loop. That's a loop right there, I think, right?
There.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
It's moving.
It's unmistakable. It's moving. That scared me.
There. You see it moving. It's moving.
There. So that's what they're reacting to, and they don't see the guy, the 8-9 foot guy behind the fence.
Just like you didn't see it, just like I didn't see it, just like there was a lot of people on YouTube, I mean, like Julia June, who have been talking about this, and we weren't noticing. There were so many videos made about this. We weren't noticing the thing above the fence. You're a crime scene reconstruction expert. You were trying to figure out what they were reacting to, and you figured it out. That's what they were reacting to.
Right.
They did. I think, and I wanted someone to point this out because I think it's important. When Angel made his video last year, his video started just after that thing in the background showed up. He didn't start it there because I don't think he even realized they captured that. He started it because they must have reviewed the video later on, and he started that video right when that thing shows up above the fence because that's what they were saying they all saw. And it's not a hallucination. You don't capture hallucinations or on video like that.
No, they don't. All right, so let's read some comments. This is from Irish Texan 899 on the Crime Scene YouTube page. She says, thank you for keeping this story going. I firmly believe this is the greatest piece of film in history of mankind. Okay, that's a little bit what's up. Yes, it beats Armstrong. Okay, you're sweet. I first saw the family's video last year with a lot of doubt. I was proven wrong with the first enlargements of the video. Only thought I would see extraterrestrials in movies or TV. I firmly believe Angel and his family. I could not make out the creature in the backyard like the others claim. However, the sight of those creepy fingers above the fence and now this head above the fence has me a believer. So really great stuff from her. I'm assuming it might be her from Irish Texan. And this is from DazRaps 8213. I'm not sure if your channel is being suppressed or if you're simply struggling with search engine optimization, but it was quite challenging for me to locate this video. Okay, I appreciate that. And then we got a comment from the famous Gray Owl number 9. Great comments regarding Jimbo Quebec Zulu. He's a grumpy dog in dog with a bone, aka excellent journalist, and the type of individual I actually want to face the zombie apocalypse with. Great stuff from Gray Owl. Here we have from Pav5971. Will you also do a video analysis enhancement of the two beings behind in the tractor? It's only a silhouette, but you do see them blinking. I agree. And I received an email from another gentleman who broke it down quite nicely. And then here we go from JoeAV1096. I believe this is the real deal, but I have a few questions that need answered. Okay, we will try to answer your questions. Please send them in to Jim Quirk over there at Extraterrestrial Reality or send them in to me over on the Crime Scene Time Machine. You can do that at Crime Scene Time Machine, patreon.com/Crime Scene Time Machine, or you can go to crimescenetimemachine.com, or you can write it on my YouTube page, or send it to Jim. Or you could send me an email at scottroder@gmail.com, and we'll figure it out. Okay. Let's see. And then we've got Bendlore from Bendlore. No, please don't drop the UFO topic. There's so much more to investigate and footage to analyze. We need more reputable, qualified, and credentialed individuals like you with eyes on his topic doing the Lord's work. Much love. Thank you, Bendlore. Wow, that's lovely. And this other guy says, UFO to Mike Tyson, what the fuck? Okay. In the one episode I did, I think it was episode 50, I got bored of doing the UFOs, and I went into doing a review of the Mike Tyson fight coming up. I'm a big boxing fan. I'm sorry. You're going to have to – hey, if you're going to like Crime Scene Time Machine, you're going to have to deal with a little bit of the sweet science of boxing too. Okay. And then we got Media on Tap. Someone explain to me how this isn't a shadow – from light shining behind the camera. It appears to be on the shadow of the guy right in front of the cameraman. All right, Media on Tap, you obviously haven't been paying attention to the evidence, but we encourage you to do a deep dive into our analysis. We've, I think, explained the shadow issue quite thoroughly today. Do you have anything to add on the shadow issue for people that just don't get it?
Well, I mean, it's you can't put a shadow against nothing. Like Ben was saying on that other on the other channel, the YouTube guy that you like, not the guy who was making the comments on News Nation, but the channel that we were just reviewing. Yeah, you can't put a shadow onto nothing. You just can't project it onto nothing. And another argument was from the guy Finn online. He was trying to say that it was compression, artifacting, that kind of thing. I think there could be some artifacting when they move the camera away, but that is not artifacting. That's what they saw. You can't. That's not, you know, a face isn't. When they said that they saw that face. That's what they saw. And now here's their proof. See, there's the face that we're talking about. This is what they look like. It's not an artifact. It's not compression.
Listen, it's mental gymnastics to argue artifact, camera artifacts, when the evidence is supporting the statement. We don't have to prove everything. Why don't we just look at things as they are, right? Instead of doing gymnastics to prove everything is wrong, okay? Sometimes people get it right, okay. And I got to hand it to Road Pirate Films. This guy is legit. He knows what he's talking about. He says, he responds to media on tap with basically what we just said. Shadows are cast on surfaces. They don't hover in midair with no surface around them. And when they are surrounded by the light. Okay, Road Pirate Films. That's right. See, we don't even need to explain it to the guys. The community knows what we're going to say before we say it. They're going to take care of it for us. All right, Master Set says something weird. That shadow over the fence was never questioned as the alien because the aliens were supposed to be in the tractor in the backyard. Why are you analyzing a random shadow in the trees? In other words, you're analyzing the wrong thing, dude.
I agree that there's stuff behind the tractor. I agree that there's stuff, but the evidence shows that there's stuff that's what the family is telling us. That's what they were seeing. That's why we're focusing on that. Angel pointed this out in the video that he made last year. He wanted us to look at that. That's what we were seeing, and that's why we're focused on the face above the fence, because it was there.
He's saying, I'm looking at the wrong thing, but guess what? I looked at the wrong thing, and I found a thing. Okay, Master Set, why don't you get back on the bench and do a few more pumps, all right? Whoa! Okay. FlowJoeTube9323, if only the mother wasn't all like other dopes and recorded this horizontally instead of vertically, so annoying. Hand up face, I agree. Listen, no, throwing no shade on the mom, but come on, you gotta go landscape style. You get everything in there. Please, everybody, if you see a UFO, go landscape style. All right. This is a comment on my video called the Shermer Effect. Remember I did that video, the Shermer Effect?
Yeah.
this is from ATK man. Okay. If you look for spots within the video that looks unnatural, where like the pixels were removed, can you spot more entities? That's interesting. The same is true with the large tree above and behind the tractor. I wonder if their spaceship is hidden in plain sight. Also around 4 minutes and 11 seconds, you can spot a full moon between the leaves. I wonder if there was a full moon in Las Vegas that evening or if that was a UFO. Very interesting. You see, Jim, this is what it is about the UFO community. They're smart people. These people are doing, they're reading our minds, man. These are smart people. I would say the people in the UFO community are as smart as any of the people who claim to be experts on UFOs. I do not claim to be an expert on UFOs. I'm an expert in evidence, and I looked at that video, and we did a thing, right? I'm never going to say I'm an expert in UFOs, but I could be useful. I think you're more of an expert in UFOs than I am, and probably more of an expert on UFOs than Ben Hansen. I don't know what makes him an expert on UFOs. I know what makes you an expert on UFOs. You're an experiencer. From your childhood, you had an experience with extraterrestrials. So you don't even need me to, you already know.
You know what's interesting to me? I just want to point something out. I've been thinking about it the last few days, especially with some of the objections that people have had with this evidence and some of the comments that people like Ben Hansen have made. You know, it's really interesting to me. A lot of these people, they at the same time, they'll look at stories where there's absolutely no evidence to go along with the stories, and they're just people giving their what they experienced, and they find veracity in this. Here you have a story where you hear this story, plus there's evidence to go along with it, but no, I don't believe in that. I've been seeing that a lot on Twitter. I find it's disconcerting to see this, actually.
That's why I'm not on Twitter. Actually, I started a Twitter account just to respond to Finn directly before I went on the News Nation, and that's my only post.
Well, you know, I want to say, could I just interrupt? I'm just sorry, but you know, Finn, okay, he has his analysis that he had put together a long time. He thinks he's right. He thinks you're wrong. But what I have an issue with is that when somebody shows up like Finn, and then someone like Joe Mergia, who's pretty popular talking about UFOs on Twitter, and who I like, I actually like these.
I like him too.
And so he makes a comment saying, "Oh, this is this is silly and stuff like that. This is embarrassing." Saying it's embarrassing, I'm like,
"What's embarrassing about it?
What are you talking about? Embarrassing?" So that's what caused that gave me some umbrage. I didn't like that, so I, you know, that set me off, and I'm like, I'm sure you probably saw some of the tweets that I gave back to these guys. I'm surprised at it. I mean, here you have people, they had an experience and they have some evidence to go along with it. And you know, you had people calling it a hoax. When how could it be a hoax? They didn't even go out to look for anybody. There was actually investigators were going to them and asking them questions. It wasn't until over a month after it happened when they finally start going public themselves about it. It wasn't like they sought like looking for money or anything like that. That's not the case here. It's just none of the objections make sense to me, and that's the whole issue I have.
Yeah, I agree. It reminds me of insurance companies and an insurance adjuster. I was a part of a case back in the early 2000s. It was with an attorney. I'll give him a shout out, Riley Allen of Orlando, Florida. He's a good dude out there. He was representing a family who. Anyway, it was a terrible accident and people died, and the insurance company like failed to cover the claim. And so this was a case against the insurance company. And what we found out as part of that litigation was there are a lot of insurance companies out there. I'm not going to name the names, but there's a lot of insurance companies out there that their policy is to deny every claim 3 times before they even look at it. Okay, and I kind of feel like the debunkers kind of the same way, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a skeptic. I like Ashley Banfield introduced me as a skeptic, and I do think I'm a skeptic. Now, listen, I believe certain things that are outside of my area of expertise, and I do talk about those from time to time. But those are more entertaining things, and we talk about philosophy and how it might affect things and whatnot. But if I'm going to use my official expert opinion, I'm going to stay into my area of expertise. And with regard to that, I am a skeptic, okay? So I do agree with her on that. But being a skeptic doesn't mean you have to be closed-minded and you automatically say no 3 times before you look at the video, right?
Yeah.
I do have to say a couple more business. I want to do a shout-out to my friend Ross Coulthart, international investigative journalist. Ross was the one that put me in touch with the Ashley Banfield Show. So I want to thank him for that, because I think, you know, listen, I've gotten over 1300, messages.
Wow.
On the YouTube channel, over the last, 3 or 4 days, and 97% of them are great. One guy didn't like my screen resolution. The other, you know, somebody talks about the shadows but the other people correct them. I'd say for the most part, 95-97% is just fantastic. Now, I do have to correct the record. I made a bit of a mistake on the show when I interviewed with you, and I referred to Luis Castillo as having a doctorate degree. He does not have a doctorate degree. He has a master's degree in computer science. He's working toward his doctorate. He is a citizen in a country, Venezuela, in Central America, and he works, lives, and studies there. And I wanted to make that on the record. I had a very nice email from a guy who I intend on working with, who brought that to my attention and wanted to, you know, ask me a question about that. So we are correcting the record on that. We do strive for accuracy. I think in my excitement, I, you know, might have just misspoke. So I apologize to everybody out there
for that. So I wanted to.
So he has a master's in computer science, and he's working toward his doctorate. Okay, well that's right. Yeah. You know, I mean, it doesn't change anything with regard to his analysis and his conclusions.
But I was inaccurate, and I wanted the correct record.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's the way it is. Everyone. Yeah. I mean, that's the right thing.
We're gonna run this thing like a newspaper. You're an old journalist guy, right? Not old, but you come from the journalist world, and I love journalism, and I do agree that we should make sure that we're accurate in what we're saying. And when we're trying to report facts and have an expert opinion, we have to be accurate. Now, if we're doing just opinion-based stuff, like sometimes, you know, we go off on tangents about, you know, the secret space program or alien hybrids or things like that. And sometimes with that stuff, you just have to – we're just talking here, you know. But when we're doing expert opinion, I do want to be careful about that. So
yeah, I will make sure when I do that, I'm doing another show on the Vegas stuff this week coming up, and I will make sure that I point that out to my listeners and viewers.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important. Yes, it is. You got to have the facts. Need to be everything needs to be laid out as we know it, as the truth as we know it. And
my promise to everybody out there: hey, sometimes I'll make a mistake, but I promise when the mistakes are brought to my attention, I will correct the record.
Okay. I think, you know, I just want to say one other thing too about mistakes. I think, you know, a lot of people, they don't like being wrong sometimes, and they don't like admitting to their mistakes. I think it's important. When there's a mistake made, it needs to be, you need to bring it out and get it out and get it over with.
Don't hide from the mistakes.
Don't hide from it. Just
listen, nobody's perfect.
No.
I talk fast, and sometimes my words, my brain gets ahead of my mouth, okay? Because I'm excited about the next thing I'm going to do. But back to, I want to end this thing today. We've been going for about 30 minutes or 35 minutes or so. It's a Sunday. I want you to get back to your beautiful Geraldine. By the way, Geraldine is making us up some Crime Scene Time Machine hats, which we are going to send out for free to our favorite listeners. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/ Crime Scene Time Machine. Sign up, $8. It's only the price of a cup of coffee. And I promise you, every penny we get here, we are going to use into the show, to make the show better, to travel, to go do investigations that you want us to do. So this is a crowd-sourced people. Me, Jim, Gray Owl, all these other guys out here, that want to participate in the program. If you donate, we're going to assemble a team, just like Avi Loeb and the Galileo Project. We will assemble our team, which I think, what did Gray Owl call it? The International League of Lucy Associated Research Affiliates. We're going to put that on a hat, baby. I think he has the anagram for that. And like I said, if you want, and we're going to send out not this hat, not Jim's hat, but it's going to be like this. Jim, you want to show everybody the hat?
I could pull it up on my phone here. Hold on.
Yeah, I could probably pull it up right here.
Yeah.
Okay, right here, guys. Oh, that's the evidence room hat.
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be like this, guys, right here. It's going to be like that, except that's the evidence room logo. We're going to have one with the newly branded Crime Scene Time Machine logo, which I have right here, which I think everybody's going to love. So imagine a flat-brimmed trucker hat on the new Crime Scene Time Machine logo, which I have right here. I'm stalling. Right here. There's the new Crime Scene Time Machine logo, baby.
Looking good. I like it a lot.
So that is going to be on trucker hats, okay? We're going to get that on trucker hats. We're going to get them in blue and green and whatever, anything you want. And if you subscribe to the channel, patreon.com/ Crime Scene Time Machine, $8. It's a $25 hat. You're getting it for $8, price of a cup of coffee. All profit goes into the show, education. By the people, for the people, for the benefit of everyone. On behalf of Jim Quirk, I've been Scott Roeder. I love you, Planet Earth. See you next time.